clearing my board here. Okay, here we go. Tonight, reminded of this thing here. I've been hearing from, I got to leave names out of this if I can here. I've been hearing some, getting some emails. It's along the line of questions and answers, but somebody's been getting response back from their person. And when you tell people about Paul and the risen Savior, and the misconceptions just start flying. They think that we don't preach that you should read the whole Bible. It's the hypers that say you don't need to read anything but the Paul stuff. And then they seem to skip the Timothy and Titus stuff, you know, where the Paul's, you know, Paul is about telling us about the way of God, which is the way it's pronounced in the Gospels. It says way of God. And Jesus was there to present the way of God. Now in Acts, Paul, that he's to teach the way of God more perfectly. And we know that more perfectly doesn't mean less error. It means more complete. So when Jesus Christ came to the Jews in the Gospels, he presented the way of God, which is fine. They believe that he presented, that's what they believe. He was teaching the way of God. And yet in Paul's books, it's referred to as the way of God more perfectly. And there's more to it now. And we understand now with the King James Bible, it's that which has come is perfect. That, you know, that which is perfect has come. There we go. It's done. It's complete. There's no other Bible coming. And so I think the problem people really have the most is just to put their faith in what that Bible says, because it's so confusing to them. I mean, you got guys talking to people, and they're telling you to go to John, they're telling you to go to 1 John to get your confessions made, they're telling you to go to Revelation chapter 14 to preach the everlasting gospel, they're telling you to go to Revelation chapter 3, because of course we're in the Laodicean church age, so God will spew you out if you don't do right, and they're taking you to Hebrews chapter 6 to tell you that you can lose your salvation, they take you to Timothy to tell you that, well, you know, you're a pastor that's been divorced, so you can't preach anymore. That's the only reason they go to Paul, is to get preachers not to preach. Pastors to get out of the pulpit, even though people that are voting for them are on their third and fourth and 15th marriage. And the pastors who pick on the other pastors for having a divorce, they've got horrible kids, and so they shouldn't be a pastor either. But they skip that one. There's all sorts of inconsistencies. It's what religion is. This Bible, to most of the Bible believers anymore, has become a religion. Their Baptist religion has taken over. And they're reading books about the Bible. They're reading books about Jesus. And they're not going to a rightly divided Bible. Which is an amazing thing. You know, if you go to Habakkuk, you can see that we have to live by our faith. Because in the Old Testament, it was their faith. Jesus told that in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 15 or 16, that lady had great faith. Yeah, it was the lady's faith. They had to have their faith in the gospel. And they have to have, we have to have the faith of Jesus Christ today. So our faith in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, and Philippians and Galatians, blah, 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 tells us that our faith gives us His faith. And from that moment on, we're relying on His faith, not ours. Our faith grows. We get stronger. We learn more. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that we're to grow in judgment. And people tell us, all you do is judge, and the modern Christian comes along and says, well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to judge you. We're not judging, we're just putting forth the truth. And as we said the other night, in Philippians chapter 1 here, it says, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. And that's what we're supposed to do. As a Paul Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, a New Testament Christian, which, by the way, the New Testament does not begin until the death of Christ. So what are we doing teaching the Gospels? Christ hasn't died yet. That's not the testament we're supposed to be teaching. However, we should read it. We should read the Old Testament. Paul says it's for learning and admonition and it's for an sample. It's not our example. We're there. The stuff is there for us to read because we can see how God operated when it was God with the people. But now through Christ, Jesus Christ comes down in the Gospels, all about the Testament before He died. So the New Testament begins after His death. Hebrews chapter 9, I think it's 16 somewhere in there like that. So it's just, our pastors have so blinded their church people that when you give somebody a Bible, they just skim through it, if even that, and try to apply everything they can think of if it fits, if it makes them look good. If it doesn't make them look good, then they say, well, no, that's not written. That's not written. That's not for me. I'm going to have to do that one. or you have to do this one, but I don't have to do this one. It's a folly. Paul warns about that folly in Timothy. And he says it's that group of people that have godliness but deny the power thereof. So that's a religious bunch of people, and the world is full of them. Been there, done that. And he talks about 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he says that folly will be manifest. And we're seeing this folly manifest all over, more and more and more, if you stick to a King James Bible, rightly divide that thing, according to Paul's books, not according to whatever school you've attended, and the doctor such and such has told you what that one means. So tonight it's kind of a laid back night because I've been busy at school and all this kind of stuff and trying to survive at this age and weather and all that kind of whatever hoopla. And this was what was sent to somebody in response to the fact that the parent was trying to get their older person, I got to be careful here, their relative. To look at this Paul stuff, the way it's being presented in the King James Bible. Well, all people know how to do is cut and paste or copy and paste. So this guy cut and paste something out of Peter, and you look at these things and you realize, you know, this guy, anybody, they just slap some Bible on you, and that's their answer. Can you not discuss this? Can you not pull up some verses specifically and let us talk back to you? So what we're going to do here tonight, we're going to go through Acts chapter 20, verse 24 to 36. This was one guy's response. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, he pulls that one out. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 to 17. And 2 Peter 3, 15 to 18. So we're just going to read through this stuff. And maybe the person that is being bombarded by this copy and pasting stuff will have some things to write back. So here we go. Let's get here to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. And we won't make this a complete study. We won't do as much as I'd like to back in the old days, my hour and a half sermons and all that. But here we go. This is what he responded back to Mom, who said, we need to study and look at Paul, Paul only. And you'll see where this guy's coming from. This is as common as a meadowlark in the summer in Kadoka, South Dakota. Here we go. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to read through this thing and just, what are being told here from Paul? What are they missing when they copy paste something like this? None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Well, right there, if we could use that for example in our life, we wouldn't let these things tear us down. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. It's not about us. So that's a good preaching verse right there. We are so concerned about ourselves. And so then he says, so that I might finish my course with joy. Now, question. What is Paul's course? What was he supposed to do? Well, we don't know. We're just going to slap this at you, tell you what you're doing is wrong. No, let's look at Paul's course for a minute. What's his purpose? I mean, you're a King James Bible believer. What's Paul doing in our book? If we're not going to follow Paul, what's he doing in there? What's the point? And when Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, if anybody teaches any other gospel, even an angel from heaven, which is what happens in Revelation 14. And this is what happens in the gospels because they're telling people that if you want to believe in the gospels, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He came to be their Messiah. If they believed in him and his name there, that's their salvation and such, and yet they still don't get to go to heaven because he hadn't died yet and done what he had to do. Which is totally makes sense. So what are we doing teaching people these things? What's this about being born again? You don't have to be born again. That thing is a plural reference to the nation of Israel. That's why the these and the thous and the yees and the yeas are so important. You take those out of there, and there goes that whole thing. What's Mark chapter 16, verse 12 to the end of the chapter? I think it's verses 12 to the end of the chapter. What are they doing missing in all these Bibles? Because Satan takes that thing out of there, because if you look at those verses, that will destroy the Great Commission being preached today. But you take that away, then you can preach the Great Commission, and it doesn't expose the lie of that thing. Look at Acts 8:37.
I mean, this is a great verse according to the Baptists. And remember, some of you folks, I've been a Baptist pastor for all those years and da-da-da-da. So, um, 8:37 there it says that what did he believe? That he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there's the difference. And if people dismiss this. So let's go back to this thing here. So that I might finish my course. What was Paul's course? Okay, class, take your Bibles, and find me what Paul's course was. Everybody looks at each other and they go, what? We have to do this ourselves? He's supposed to do this for us. We pay him the big bucks. He's supposed to teach us this stuff. I already taught you this stuff. So, where do you go? Well, I can't see here. For those that... Okay. I'm the third student in the second row. Well, I would go to Acts. I'd probably go to Acts chapter 26. Okay, well, that's a good place to go, because it says his job is to deliver them, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Oh, does that mean faith in Paul? No. It means faith in Christ. No, it means by faith that is in me. Paul has a faith in him, and they're sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul's got a faith. We have that faith. What faith is that? Class, together, the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, in verse 17 tells me that all that was given to the Gentiles. So there's Paul's course. Is there another place any other youth students would like to say where there's Paul's course? Well, Mr. Ponson, I would go to Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 3, because that tells us what Paul... We'll go there, Ephesians chapter 3, okay? This cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which many of them haven't today, which is given to me, to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, parentheses, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, unparentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. Oh, wow. And verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which has been hidden, which is up in verse 5. Oh, so that's the course that Paul was doing with joy. Yes, very good, class. Okay, let's go to verse 25. I've been in school all day, so I guess I'm talking like I'm talking to my students, you know. And now behold, oh, no, we're not done. We're not done yet. Let's go back, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, which I have now received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Right. Now, the gospel of the grace of God, you know, it says in the Gospels that Jesus with grace and Moses was with the law, but the preaching of the testify of the gospel of the grace of God, that's all Paul's job. This is the dispensation of grace. And then you go into the Peter books back there, the Hebrew tribulation books, they don't even receive the grace until the Lord comes back, then they receive it. And if they want it during their time, they've got to go to the throne, and maybe they can get it, I suppose, based on whether they've done any confession or not. Okay. And now, behold, verse 25, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Oh, okay, so what's the kingdom of God? Because that's what he's going to go preaching. Well, you go to Romans chapter 14, verse 7, right? And it tells us that it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. And that ought to tell me that if I'm just winging my thoughts, you're kind of flapping here. You want to go to recess already? No, you just need to use the restroom. Go ahead and use the restroom. You don't have to raise any fingers or hands. Just if you need to go, you need to go, and then come back. And you miss the stuff. But that's the way you got to do it. So this kingdom of God, if it's not a physical kingdom, why do they think that they can go into their church building and worship God like it was when it was an earthly kingdom? Why do they think God is now in this building that we can worship him when he's in us? It's a spiritual kingdom. Okay, so there's that ought to be a question for this guy. Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, Paul has told... Do you think in those days that Paul told everybody? Everybody? Well, it seemed like that's what he says. Isn't that amazing? But I wonder if Paul... I kind of figured Paul knew this was going to happen, but he has put his words... God has taken his words and put them in this Bible, and it has been there for all men. And Paul, remember, Paul stuck around. He didn't want to stick around, but he had to stick around. He chose to stick around because they needed him, so he stayed until he could tell more people. And yet he stayed when he was being persecuted and clobbered and whipped and ship sunk. All this stuff took place in his life. You would think if anybody wanted to go get out of there and to get into this stuff, it'd be him. But no, he stayed to suffer the persecution, to still live that godly battle again, and be there for other people. So whenever we think about bagging it, let's always think about those few other people that are looking to you that will, maybe not for 10 years, you'll be there for them with your example and testimony. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare... See, here's the problem. This guy that wrote this, if I was talking to him right now, he already would have disconnected. He would have already hung up the phone. He would have closed his Bible, if he even brought his Bible. He said, or else he would say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, but this is what it says. Or they'll drop the email, they'll copy and paste a bunch of other stuff out of Timothy or something, or Revelation. I mean, they just don't play the game well at all. They don't move the markers like they're supposed to and follow the game plan here at all. Let's look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Okay? Well, the counsel of God, obviously, is Genesis to Revelation, no doubt. But during the dispensation of grace, what would be the counsel of God? What is God counseling? What is God telling them? He's telling them what he's telling them through Paul. See my point there? I've got to quit saying there. It's there. See my point? The counsel of God, the counsel. You go to a counselor, he's going to tell you something. What's he going to tell you? He's going to tell you what you need to hear. You. You're the one paying the check. You. So that's the counsel you're getting from your counselor. Why would the counselor tell you about somebody else's problems? Well, you know, I just know a guy I had a guy in here yesterday, matter of fact, there, Fred, and he was as loony as a goonie. Now, let me tell you his problems. Let me tell you how I solved his problems. Excuse me there, Mr. Counselor. I don't want to hear about the loony, goony Fred guy. I want you to give me counsel. Paul, God gives us counsel through Paul. That's the counsel of God. Now, am I dingy-winging with that thing? No, I don't think so. It just makes sense. I know there's a whole counsel. Hang on, we'll get to that. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Okay, now stop there. Who's the church of God? Is it the Jews? No. Is it the Gentiles? No. It's the saved people during the dispensation of grace. Jews and Gentiles. They're the church of God. So we're supposed to feed the church of God. What are we doing? Changing our churches and our plans and our programs to bring in the Gentiles. That church, now there's other verses to look at. Like I said, we're not going to do this complete. We're just winging his thoughts here. This ought to be talking to this guy if we were sitting at a table throwing hamburgers and pickles at each other. Paul's job, this Bible, I tell you, we're supposed to be teaching to the church of God. That's the Christian. Our churches are supposed to be geared to the Christian. And if we had an argument, we'd go to Acts chapter class. What would we go to show them what modern churches are doing? We would go to Acts chapter. Somebody type me in the answer. What do we got? Hey, Bob is there. Good to see you there, Bob. We would have to show this guy. We would compare Acts chapter what with Ephesians chapter what. Somebody type in the answer there, class. And I will hit the reward button, and you will get three chocolates coming. There we go. There's one. Yep. You get a chocolate will drop out of your computer right now. Ching. Ephesians, okay, pa-ching. That's okay. There's a better one in Ephesians, where you compare the purposes of the churches. Come on, let me hear it. I know you know them. Some of you really know it because you've been battling this purpose of the church recently for about a year anyway. Come on, what's the purpose of the church? Type it in. Come on. Ephesians what? No words. Ephesians what? Ephesians chapter... There we go. 4. There we go. Very good, children. Now, Peter, you have your chocolate dropping down. Ching. Here comes your chocolate. Okay. So, that's where we're supposed to be preaching to the church of God. So what about the lost people? That's our job. To be a testimony and an example to these people that are lost. And they're going to want what you have. According to Romans chapter, to make them want what we have. Romans chapter 11, very good. But somehow people don't want what we have. Is it because we are whining and depressed and frustrated and we're trying to tell people about the poisons in our food as compared to the poison in our spiritual soul? Are we more concerned about America than we are for the truth of a Bible? So anyway, that's his job, is to feed the church of God. Those are the Christians. Boy, that's a good verse to go. I hope I remember that when I have to talk about Ephesians and Acts again. That is so good right there. I'll make a little mark there. Those on the website, so you just have to put up with my teachy tonight, because I'm kind of teachy, you know, kind of loosey-teachy here. Verse 29, because I look at this stuff, and I get so excited. I don't want to be arrogant or proud or anything like that, or think I'm a know-it-all, but when you can sit down and read your Bible and not be confused by stuff, and to see what's going on in the truth of the religion and how they're all messed up, and you see it in your Bible, that should be exciting to you. But anyway, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. So here's what I think this guy is trying to tell his mother. You teaching this Paul stuff, that's perverse. It says to draw away disciples. Oh, so we're trying to draw away those people that are caught up in the Gospels following Jesus' teachings. So we're trying to draw them away unto us. And we speak perverse things. Excuse me, what is perverse about the fact that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, but he's not imputing them? What about spiritual circumcision? What about the fact that our works are not even being judged yet, and we're not going to be rewarded, and we're not going to be chastised until the judgment seat of Christ? What about this? What about where it says I'm not supposed to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul? What about all these things? That's perverse. You think that's perverse to think that God doesn't impute our sin anymore? He cut us away so we can still be clean, and all he has left to judge is our works. You think that's perverse? Why wouldn't you want that? Oh, I talked with one of my Native American kids today at the school, and he mentioned that. They do the sweat lodge at their house, and they drive the spirits away before they have dinner and all this kind of stuff. And this is just a good little kid. And that's perverse. Now, wouldn't you think that they would like to think that, you mean this guy Jesus that you talk about, he actually paid for the sins and he got rid of the law? You can't get rid of the law. You can't do that. We didn't talk about it. But we got started because we were talking about music. And he broke his instrument, so I just get a chance to talk to him. And I was telling him how music goes back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Because he's really interested in hearing this stuff. He's a pretty good kid. And I said, you have heard of Shem? He says, no. Okay, Ham. He laughed at the name, of course. It is funny. And then Japheth. And I said, you know who those three guys are? And I said, well, those are the sons of Noah. I looked at him and said, you do know about Noah, right? No. Who's Noah? You know, the ark. The animals, he never heard a thing about it. Isn't that sad? Anyway, so they think that we're speaking perverse teachings, to think that we need to look to Paul, the gospel, the apostle, only one that we're supposed to now not follow the teachings of the other apostles. That's perverse. They must not be reading their Bible correctly. They're not even reading their Bible. They're being taught by their Baptistic little preacher. Okay, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Do you get the tear thing? I mean, it's, you talk to people and they think that yours is perverse. They think that you're crazy, that this Jesus would do such a thing, you know? And Paul warned him, and he cried about it. He just 3 years, and he couldn't get him to see some of that stuff. And now, brethren, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Let's see, build you up. Now, doesn't that Bible talk about a builder, a master builder? Okay, class, who's the master builder? Pause, waiting for the answer to be typed upon the screen for another chocolate. Okay, oh, look at them flying in, Paul. Yep. Come on, Grandma, you know these answers too. You just can't type them in quick enough, can you? Yeah, we get it. Okay, so which is able to build you up. So we build with Paul's teachings. It's exactly what his Bible should tell that guy. To give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, Jesus Christ puts us in the same boat with the Jews now. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, verse 33. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Well, there's a shocker, isn't it? Paul did his own money making. He had necessities. His hands did the work to get so he could have his necessities taken care of. I never liked that as a pastor because I always liked it when the church folks back at Tushy took such good financial care of us. It was nice. I could study more. I could, you know, it was a good thing, and that's the way it should be. Well, Paul says, listen, see, you notice I'm not there anymore. See, people don't want to hear this, and so if you're going to depend upon people, when I went to Ohio, and I was going to live on offerings, if people are going to send those, all of a sudden, I started thinking, wait a minute, if I preach about somebody's music, or if I preach about this or that, whatever, I started losing support. And I found myself preaching in a manner to keep my support. So, you know, fortunate enough, I was able to drive back across the country, come back again, get over to Tushy, where my hands are helping me provide for my necessities. And yet I have to say this, there's some of you on this website right here tonight, that you've helped us greatly with our necessities. And the website this year is going to have some necessities, some expensive financial necessities. And I'm hoping that we could, anyway, blah, 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 blah. I didn't mean to get into that, stupid. But Paul worked. Because, see, it's the guy that's supposed to, not the girl. You know how many guys are out there, their ministry is being paid for by their little harpist daughters and their little musical little families? And that's just amazing. Selling the heart, these music CDs so the dad can go out there and preach a false gospel on the street corners and be impressive in the churches. That's what it's come to. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, remember, this is about this guy that threw this at this lady. What are the words of the Lord Jesus? Well, the gospels, well, sure. He's probably got one of those red letter Bibles, you know, where Jesus talks in the gospels. Well, see, if I remember correctly, what Paul has taught to us are Jesus' words as a risen Savior. So Paul's books ought to be in red too. Matter of fact, Revelation should be in red, which it is in some Bibles. Parts of it after where Jesus is talking. Well, he's talking to us in Paul's books. So I'm okay with remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. But now, if he wants to say here, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why am I red dotted? Well, Mr. Tumpick, you're red dotted because we don't know you yet. You're right in the middle of my sermon kind of stuff, and so we just wait. We'll talk about stuff later. That gives you a chance to not say anything and get all huffy-puffy, and you just listen to the sermon, and you can't say anything yet. I'm surprised you're able to type something with being red dotted. I thought red dot would keep people from typing in stuff. I don't know. Don't understand all this stuff yet. I was red dotted. How did I get red dotted? You can't walk in there and red dot the preacher. What's going on here? Anyway. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. No, what? No sound. Oh, I see. Okay, right there. I got it. Right there. There we go. Now we're back. Now we're back. How'd that happen? My mic? You didn't lose my mic. It's still stuck to my fat tummy. Anyway, I can keep going. Read my M. Oh, okay. Okay, keep going here. Well, so there's what this guy copied and pasted to his mother. And mother, if you want to take the time to respond to these things, pick at him. But we all know that this picking doesn't mean anything to this guy. This guy's not, these people are not scripture final authoritative. They're true church or college authority, or their professor, or their music leader. There's their authority. There's so many things in those 24 to 36 verses that pin it down to Paul that it's just, they just miss it. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. To think that he would go to this one and blame this on the Paul guys. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Okay, he threw this at her to tell her. He's basically telling her, we're looking at the words of Jesus Christ. I just got done saying that. The words of Jesus Christ are in the Gospels. Yes, they are. But they're also in Paul's books, because Paul met with Jesus face to face, and those words are from Jesus. Those are what Paul's teaching us, what Jesus told him to say. And then to narrow it down here, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Well, where's the verse that defines godliness? Is it the length of the hair? Is it how many teeth you have? Is it whether you are... Where do you find the verse on what is godliness? Is it the length of your skirt? Is it the sweater size? Is it the... are you godly? Are you? Do you talk real soft and wimpy and all this kind of stuff? I mean, is this what godliness is? Where's the definition of godliness? Come on, class. Where do you find the definition of godliness? What is godliness? You want that chocolate? Somebody's got to type in there. There we go. 1 Timothy 3:16. Peter, you're doing very well. You get a day off tomorrow at work. Call your boss and tell him, oh, wait a minute, you are the boss. There we go. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. That's godliness. So when this guy throws this verse at this lady, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at the words of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Well, when he died, was he mute? Was he not be able to talk? Did he have nothing to say when he died? He just died and disappeared for a while? And to the doctrine which is according to godliness, who teaches the doctrine according to godliness? Paul. You don't find what Paul teaches about godliness in the Gospels. You don't find him in the Hebrews, Jude, James, 1st, 2nd John, 3rd John, and 1st, 2nd Peter. You don't find that doctrine in there. That's taught by Paul. Paul doesn't teach what it says in, I think it's 3rd John, don't let these people, the false religions, don't let them into your house, because if you God bless them, you'll be in the curse right along with them. You'll be partakers of their wickedness. Paul doesn't teach that. I don't recommend letting the people into your house if you don't know what you're talking about, because your little kids are going to sit there and watch these Mormons and these JWs put you to shame with Bible knowledge, and then you're going to come out of there looking really stupid, and in 5 or 10 years, your kid might be a Mormon. Because you'll never forget the time this Mormon guy came into your house. But I would love to have somebody come to my house and want to talk about this stuff. But you know they won't, so what's the point? I'd like to have a king. I'm trying to find a hyper guy somewhere that'll talk to me about what they believe. Because I'll challenge them that they're skipping the Timothys and the doctrine of godliness. They skip that stuff. Anyway. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's something else he threw at him. He threw at this poor mother. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Oh, so you're telling mom that she's an evil person because she's getting worse and worse. Or I'm an evil person because I'm trying to tell you that the Bible says to write and divide the word of truth. The word of truth, that's the gospel of your salvation. Is your King James Bible the gospel of your salvation? It is. Is it the word of truth? It is. Well, we're supposed to rightly divide it. How does that work? Well, we're told to follow Paul. And Paul, every one of Paul's books starts with the word Paul. Duh. So I got to thinking, well, you know what? We should be following Paul's teaching. That's what it says. And as soon as we started doing that stuff, religion started to come out of me. I started to realize what's being taught as religious folly as compared to truth. Anyway, so we're being accused of being evil and seducing. And we're going to wax worse and worse and deceive more and be seen. By the way, I don't recognize the fact I'm getting an increase in numbers anywhere. But maybe Tumpick 3 and the Man 5 will hear this stuff and go, hey, I've never heard it like this before. This Bible suddenly makes sense to me. And they'll stick around for the next 20 years and donate $50 million. Maybe these are rich guys. You know, like that's how we want it to happen. Don't expect it to. Now, verse 14. But continue thou, this is 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. See, we're in Timothy, so we have learned, Timothy learned these things from Paul. Okay, duh. And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay. Who did Timothy learn this stuff from? Paul. Who were we learning this stuff from? Paul. King James Bible. Rightly divided. Word of God. 400 years old this year. Hasn't changed. That's my assurance is in my Bible, not what I feel, not what somebody has taught me. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, look at this. Grammar time again. I need a little... You know what? I need one of those little ringy-dingy bells. You just smack it and it goes ding. Because here's grammar time. Ding. Look at that. Wise unto salvation. Okay? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you wanted to say the fact that your faith in Christ Jesus is your salvation, then you need to leave out something. Through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how it should read. I don't change any words in a King James Bible, zero zilch. That says through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know what the faith which is in Christ Jesus is? That's the faith of Jesus. That's the faith of Christ. Philippians and Colossians and Galatians. And a little bit of Romans. So this salvation, do you see what I'm saying there? This salvation that we're wise unto is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the faith of Christ that makes us our salvation. Okay, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, we believe that. This guy doesn't believe that. We lost one of them. He doesn't believe, most people don't believe verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. They don't believe that. Their Bibles say, all Scripture given, they take out the word is. Okay, Acts 26:18. Yes, okay, I see what you're saying, Ryan. The modern Bible say all Scripture given by inspiration of God, meaning that all that Scripture in that Bible is not all inspired by God. So it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Well, everybody figured to argue over the doctrine stuff. For reproof? Are you kidding? You can hardly reprove anybody without hurting their feelings. For correction? What? You make them so mad if you think you correct this Bible corrects anybody? How many preachers get up there and stand and preach the Word of God, correct their lives? Paul's life, Paul's preachings, other than about the grace and the risen Savior, it's about how to live the manner of life that pleases God. And that will correct you. You have to be corrected. You're watching too much of this. You should be going to such and such. You don't even dress like that. What are you doing dressing like that? That's not shamefaced. Blah, 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 blah. That's correction. You get that from the Scriptures. Go ahead, get mad at the preacher. He's just telling you what Titus says in chapter 2. That's all that is. That's correction. And then and the Lord doesn't, through Paul, doesn't ever tell us what's wrong. At least he tells us what's right for instruction in righteousness. Okay, don't do this, but here's what you should do. And they don't look to the Bible for that anymore. Are you kidding? People hardly look to their Bible for anything anymore, let alone reproof and doctrine and correction, instruction, and righteousness. Yeah, right. Now, verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The man of God may be perfect. See, they think that means sinless, sinningless, that you'll stop sinning. Well, we learn from Paul that we're not going to stop sinning, but Christ takes care of sin. And when we're done with our works, we'll be complete. Right now, he's taking care of our soul. He's given us his spirit, and yet our flesh still has to go through judgment. The works we do still have to go through judgment.
Yeah.
Judgment seat of Christ. Which is why we're not going to be chastised today. We're not going to be blessed physically today because our works that we're doing haven't been judged by God yet. Romans chapter 2 tells us the lost person, they're not even being judged by God because he's storing it up for when they do die, then he'll pull it up. But in the meantime, he hopes they get saved. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. People think there's no God because he's not stepping up and hammering people for what they're doing. They think that all the things that have happened to America is God's judgment. Oh, come on. Look at God's judgment. That hurricane down there was it's just a hurricane. What destroyed New Orleans were the stupid dikes that people had built, and the government wrecked them anyway. The Oklahoma thing, government. Trent Towers, government. I mean, all this stuff. This isn't God's judgment on America. He has no judgment to put on us until, to the Christian, the judgment seat of Christ, and to the lost person, the white stone judgment. And in Revelation, when Babylon will be judged during the tribulation. So, how do I get into all that? Oh, the Bible stuff there, okay. The man of God may be perfect. So, look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as physical, a living sacrifice. In other words, you deny your body some stuff, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So Paul's ministry was to help us prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. We go to that Bible because that Bible will correct us. It'll teach us what's true about doctrine, and it will tell us to our face, and it will tell us what to do right. And in the process, that will help us become more and more perfect. Meaning, complete. And when our judgment seat goes through our works, we will then be complete. Then we'll be perfect. That's the definition of perfect in the Bible. Completed. Done. Okay, quick finish up here. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's something else this guy's copy and pasted. Now, we won't go through it tonight, but Peter, we've been through it a million times. 1st, 2nd Peter is totally to the Jews. There's nothing in there to the Gentiles. Now, there's stuff in there for us, and we learn about what the tribulation is going to be like. We learn how these people are going to have to live to get to the millennium. And it is a different gospel. It's an everlasting gospel, Revelation 14. But there's nothing in Peter that's to a Gentile. This is at the end of the book. Remember I said that the King James Bible is in dispensational order? Why would Peter, James, and John, and Jude be in the back of the book when they wrote this stuff before Paul? During and before Paul's time. How to get at the end of Paul? Well, because it's for the tribulation. Those are the Jews. That's what that thing is all about. Peter was the apostle to the circumcision. Galatians chapter 2 tells us that. So Peter is the apostle to the Jews. He's not our apostle. Paul is the apostle to the uncircumcision. Galatians chapter 2. We don't follow Peter. We learn by reading Peter, but we don't follow Peter. So that said, I got sermons on that thing online. Just type in, you know, whatever. But let's look at this anyway. We'll see some pretty good clues here. Verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Okay. Even as your beloved brother, Paul, also according to the... Oh, I see what this guy's doing. He's showing Mom that, look at this, Peter even talks about Paul. So let's follow Peter because Peter even talks about Paul stuff. No. These guys had trouble with Paul. I'll show you. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written to you. Really? According to the wisdom given to Paul, he's written to Jews. Where has Paul written specifically to Jews? And this is so good. This little point right here. This is another point. Why does Paul write what he writes in Hebrews? And it's Paul. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. What's the book of Hebrews doing in our Bible? Man, the book of Hebrews says you can lose your salvation, you can't get it back. There's all sorts of things that are different in what he teaches to the Gentiles. Because right here in this verse, this tells us why Paul is the author of Hebrews. And if Peter is, which I believe it is written to the Jews, and Peter's talking to Jews, then he's telling Jews that they're reading what Paul wrote. Where is Paul's writing to the Jews? Where did he write this stuff? I'm waiting class. I'm waiting for the word. Where did Paul write to the Jews? There it is. Is this not exciting? I mean, Peter says, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, the Jews. He's referring to the book of Hebrews. He's not referring to 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And that's all to Gentiles. Now watch. He says, verse 16. Be careful here, though. As also in all his epistles. So they're aware of his epistles. But the epistles weren't written to the Jews, although a Jew could pick them up and read them and get saved like a Gentile. But it was directed to Gentiles after he tried the Jews, and the Jews, you know, said no way. Okay. Now watch, here's what they do with Paul's epistles. And also, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. These guys couldn't figure out what he was teaching in epistles. Well, of course not. What Paul taught to the Gentiles in the epistles was so different to what's being taught, what Peter's teaching to these guys, and it is so different to what Paul taught to the Gentiles compared to what Paul taught to the Jews in Hebrews. So here's what they do with what Paul writes in the epistles. It says here, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now that's not rest like take a nap, R-E-S-T, it's W-R-E-S-T, wrestled. They work with it. As they do also the other scriptures. Well, what would the other scriptures be? Well, I guess they'd be going back to the Old Testament scriptures and tell people need to follow the law. Makes sense, right? Until their own destruction. Now, Mark, you say Colossians 4:16. Okay, let's go to Colossians 4:16. What jewel has Mark found in Colossians 4:16, which says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And the Laodicean church is the tribulation. Uh-oh. That's a new one for some folks. I thought we were in the Laodicean church age. We can't be. Bunny trail. Revelation chapter 3. Here we go. Hang on to the main thought here. Revelation chapter 3, official bunny trail here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 says, because thou hast kept the word to this Philadelphian people of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's the tribulation. The hour. And we also know in the Laodicean church, he'll spew the church out of his mouth. Who's the church? The body of Christ. We can't be spewed out of God's mouth. We can't be rejected once we're saved. And if you go to verse 19, it talks about being chastised. We're not chastised during the dispensation of grace. But they will be chastised during the tribulation. Why? Because Christ loves them. He wants to get them back on the trail. If they confess their sins, 1 John 1:9, they will be forgiven, and they can be back on track with their salvation. And they better repent and change their ways, or they'll die and go to hell, lake of fire, tribulation. Verse 21 of Revelation 3, they have to overcome. So these two verses in 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16 are marvelous verses, and I just saw them tonight, so we're all still learning this stuff. It's so exciting. He's referring to Hebrews there. Verse 17, ye therefore, and I like his therefore, because he just says some real golden nugget. Then he says, therefore, there's a response to what he teaches here. Beloved, seeing ye know these things before, seeing that they know what Paul taught there to them in Hebrews, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, unless ye fall paths of these guys, they'll fall from their own steadfastness. Which goes in tune with what Peter talks about. They can lose their salvation. They can fall. Verse 18, but grow in grace. See, and this guy's trying to get mom to think, well, see, this is all grace. No, we've learned that Peter says they don't receive their grace until Christ comes. They've got to be confessing and forgiving, confession and forgiving, confessing and forgiving. And they're going to go to the throne for grace, but they're going to have to go there every time they mess up. Just like altar calls today. Every week the same people go forward and back, forward and back, forward and back. They get cleaned up. Before the end of the week they're dirty again. They've got to get back cleaned up. I always wonder why when a church who teaches a baptism after salvation, why when these people come to the altar and they've done something wrong and they get saved again, why don't they do the baptism again? Anyway, I know, silly question. I think it's a legitimate question, though. So he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the risen Savior right there, the way he talks like that. So that's good. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Or as my Lutheran family says, amen. May the God of all truth lead you into all truth. Then he says, happy studying, which I know isn't in that reference right there. And so, wait a minute. That's not even in the verse, is it? Let me check this out. I think I'm reading something too much. That doesn't make sense there. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Is it? I know it doesn't say happy studying, but amen is where it ends, 3:18. Yeah, there we go. Duh. May the God of all truth lead you into all truth. Now, this kind of a statement, when these people say that, I chuckle because God is trying to show this kid truth. Because his mother is showing him rightly dividing and Paul. And here's this kid that's praying for the truth. And the truth comes through his mother in the King James Bible, and he doesn't get it. And he says, happy studying. And I know for a fact, this guy doesn't study his scriptures. He studies what somebody taught him. Now, I didn't give you anything tonight that was teachings. These weren't Paulson teachings. We went through the scriptures, and we could take time and go through more references and reference them all and all this kind of stuff. But these are not my teachings. We took this directly from the scriptures, and you saw that, and you heard that. So when these people pray, we've been praying for the truth, and you can just smile and put your hands up a little bit, kind of toss your hands up and say, well, your prayers are answered. Here I am. Doesn't that sound arrogant? But it's really the truth. If what you have for somebody is a rightly divided King James Bible, following Paul only, yet reading Genesis to Revelation, realizing that Paul's teachings are the only ones to us, the rest are there for our learning and admonition and in sample. One of the things he says, if you don't have time to do, he talks about the fact that if you reject the rest of the Bible, we're not rejecting the rest of the Bible. I'll say that for another part here. We say you should read Genesis to Revelation. A lot of hypers don't say that. Just remember that all that Bible wasn't written to you, it was written for you. The stuff that's written to us as application that will be at our judgment seat of Christ. Because remember, Paul says that Jesus Christ is going to be the judge at the judgment seat, but Jesus Christ is going to use Paul's gospel. What's Paul's gospel? What Paul taught. Isn't that something these guys that hate Paul and the people that follow Paul, blah, 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 follow the risen Savior through Paul, and they're going to get, if they're saved, if they are actually saved, they'll get to the judgment seat, and Christ is going to pull up. This is just you know, how we look at these things. Christ is going to pull up a Bible. He's going to turn to the books of Paul. And he's going to say, well, let's go to Ephesians. Let's check out how you did. Let's go to Titus and see how you did. Wait a minute. Aren't you going to go to the Beatitudes, God? Let's go to the Jesus. Let's go to the Beatitudes. I did the Beatitudes pretty good. And he's going to say, I'm sorry there, son, but I didn't teach to you the Beatitudes. I taught that to the Jews. We're going to teach that again in the millennium. But I didn't teach you the Beatitudes. I'm sorry you studied so hard. You studied the wrong books. So your judgment seat is going to fail. It's going to be pretty messy, isn't it? I mean, Christ himself is going to go to Paul's books with the judgment seat of Christ. That's Romans 2:16, by the way. Yeah, I better stop here. There's more coming here. He also sent in four. That was just one letter he wrote. He also sent Hosea 4:6, 1 Peter again, chapter 2. And maybe we'll continue on later. I don't know. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. But today, words can kill people because they're so onion skin thin that words hurt them. I'm trying to tell that to the kids, you know. Don't let what somebody says bother you. I've had people say things about me for years. And I was even an international pervert, according to one person. And you just can't let those words hurt you. But it is the words that will show you the stuff. So I'll try to continue this because I enjoy doing this. I enjoy sitting down just reading the Bible and pointing things out and showing where people, what they miss. Because I missed it for years. Now it's just there it is. It just pops up.